foreclosure crisis is being called one of the greatest threats to the American home in our history. And the numbers? Yeah, ooh, indeed. But this is not the first threat to the American home, and it certainly won't be the last. We've survived floods, tornadoes, fires, drought, mudslides, hurricanes, and of course, cougars.
Black and orange stray cats sitting on a fence.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the wild cougar of 61.
Ain't got enough dough to pay the rent.
What, you don't know this story? It was only the talk of the town.
I'm flat broke, but I don't care. I strut right by with my tail in the air. Stray cat strut, I'm a
ladies' cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova, hey!
Bend that side.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
It seems a wild cougar was sighted near my grandmother's house.
Yeah, don't cross my path.
This was outside Chicago in Joliet, Illinois. On the radio, residents were being told to keep all children and pets indoors. I happened to be at my grandmother's house on Jasper Street for a visit, and that cougar totally captured my imagination. I wanted to be the one to capture it. Sure, I was only 7, but I could catch a cat. I'd even recently learned how to spell it. In truth, I just wanted to be a hero, especially to Becky, the cute little girl down the street from my grandmother. In my mind, the cougar would have her cornered in her yard. I would creep ever so slowly toward it. Becky would beg me with her eyes to be rescued. And then, just as the cat made its move, I'd make mine. I'd intercept the snarling animal just before it could sink its teeth into her. As she'd run to safety, I'd wrestle the beast. We'd roll over and over on the ground, just like I'd seen on all those westerns. And then my fantasy would go one of two ways. First, there was the happy hero ending, where the cougar would simply surrender to me, becoming as docile as a tabby. He'd obediently walk by my side as I led him to the woods where he'd lick my face before finding his way back to his own world. And then there was the tragic hero ending, where the cougar would get the best of me, leaving me bleeding on the ground, barely alive. The grief-stricken Becky would hold a 24/7 hospital vigil over me until I could complete my miraculous recovery.
Cat style.
Turns out no one ever caught that cougar or even saw it again. Who knows if it even existed in the first place? What I didn't know at the time was that a much greater threat, a much more real threat, was indeed coming to the neighborhood. And this one couldn't be tackled or diverted. This one was huge. This threat was 2,900 miles long. Interstate 80 was coming through Joliet, and Jasper Street was in the way. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus. Jasper Street in Joliet, Illinois, was lined with old brick homes, huge oak trees shading both sides of the street, long rows of mature hedges, plenty of places for a cougar to hide. Nooks and crannies were abundant, and I loved poking around the neighborhood along this quiet Midwestern street just a few hundred feet away from the most famous highway in America.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. more than 2,000 miles all the way. I get your kicks on Route 66.
One of the reasons Route 66 became such an iconic American highway is that it didn't have a lot of competition. We needed more roads. That's why several years earlier, President Eisenhower launched the public works project that would dwarf everything.
The interstate system is bigger than any single engineering project ever taken on. It's larger than the pyramids, the Panama Canal, all the infrastructure you can imagine, any single project. It stands above the rest. It is beyond, I think, anybody's reasonable imagination and scope.
Dan McNichol is a transportation writer and author of the book, The Highways That Transformed America.
The interstate was laid out along those desire lines, where there was already a lot of traffic. And what predated the red, white, and blue shields were the famous black and white shields, the U.S. routes. Route 66 probably being the most celebrated of all of the highways in America.
So the U.S. routes provided the blueprint for what the interstate would build upon. Dan explained that the idea was never to rebuild those U.S. routes, but to parallel them by a mile to the north or to the south or the east or the west.
I-80 is a great example of interstate highways in America. It is probably the most desirous line across the United States. It's been a desired travel line since we were pushing wagons or pulling wagons out west along the Oregon Trail. It follows the line of the Transcontinental Railroad, as Lincoln was promoting it and later was built as. But it cuts through, you know, almost every possible terrain in this country. It cuts through the Sierra Nevadas, the Rockies, the prairie lands. It goes through the Midwest and right up through the Alleghenies and Appalachian Mountains, kind of tying New England to Southern California.
According to Dan, Eisenhower looked all the way back to Napoleon and Caesar to show that successful roads that help move goods and people can contribute mightily to the health and well-being of a nation, to say nothing of the towns along the way. So what did my grandmother's town have going for it? Location, location, location.
Joliet, Illinois is fascinating. I think on their city seal in Joliet, Illinois, it says the crossroads of America. And they are literally in the middle of I-80 and I-55. But before that, it was Route 6 and Route 66.
I want you to get hip to this timely tip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66.
In the middle of all those blueprints being unfurled for Interstate 80 was Jasper Street. Behind the scenes, my grandmother's neighbors were being informed that lives were about to change and that Jasper Street was about to become Exit 131.
I'm trapped in a world before later on. We're trapped in a world before later on.
Next time we went to Joliet for a visit, we arrived like we always do. Coming in from behind my grandmother's house through the alley to the driveway out back. After greeting Grandma and Uncle Rich, I ran to the sun porch and looked out through the picture window in front, and there it was, later on, had arrived. Pretty much everything to the left of my grandmother's house, on both sides of the street, was gone. The houses, the trees, everything. It was as if none of it had ever existed. Just 40 feet from my grandmother's front door was a barricade. Beyond that, the ground fell away. I had to get a closer look, so I bolted out the door, ran to the edge, and looked out upon the Great Pyramids. Towering piles of gravel, dirt, and sand seemed to stretch to the horizon. Beyond the barricade and down a long sloping grade was a city of activity. Road graders, massive shovels, long cranes, big trucks dumping load after load. This was something beyond my imagination. I had no idea that I was watching the greatest public works project in the history of the world. All I knew was that at the tender young age of 8, I had stumbled upon what was undoubtedly the greatest spectator event, and on weekends, the greatest playground of my young childhood. Dan McNichol,
When the interstate system was being built, at the very beginning of the process in the 1950s and 60s, it was overwhelmingly received. It was very positive. Everyone wanted it. There was almost no opposition to it.
Well, that was certainly true of the elusive 5 to 12-year-old male demographic, who harbored a fascination for big machines that made lots of noise. For the affected communities, though, they were about to get their eyes opened big time.
The superhighway would split your barn from your farmhouse. The superhighway split one side of town from another, and it was very unforgiving. There were no exits and off-ramps for long stretches of time. Every other road that most Americans had seen up to this point had traffic lights and street signs and driveways and all sorts of access and egress. And the success of this thing called the interstate highway system was its limited access.
Limited access? All I knew was that on Sundays, when the construction workers were home with their families, I had all the access to the interstate that I could ever need. My cousins and I would hop over the barricade and have drag races down that long, hard-packed dirt slope using flattened cardboard boxes. The mountains of sand, gravel, and dirt were an irresistible attraction for kids from all over, and on weekends, they were our personal playgrounds. We'd climb to the top and roll to the bottom over and over again. We'd stage epic dirt clod wars that would last for hours. When I'd come in for lunch, I'd have to undress outside on the porch so I could shake all of the dirt and sand and gravel out of my pants and shoes and socks. After lunch, we'd become the construction workers themselves, climbing up into the driver's seat of the massive shovels and graders and trucks that the crews left behind. For me, the destruction of Jasper Street was anything but a disruption or a tragedy. It made those visits to Grandma's house more fun than ever. I didn't know what it meant for families to be displaced or to have property values gutted. And as it turns out, that was a bit of dirty work that the feds left to the states.
The state, knowing that they wanted to build this big road, would go into a town, lay out the stakes of basic right-of-way of where the road was going to be passing through, and then, through a voluntary process, try to buy out the properties. In the 1950s, sometimes they'd be so aggressive they would go in right away and say, here's a dollar for your home, get out of here, come into court and sue us, we'll figure it out in court, but we want you out immediately.
If a fair price couldn't be agreed upon, many cases did go to court, but the results rarely favored the landowner. Dan told me that these days the eminent domain laws bear no resemblance whatsoever to those days. But that just makes it easier to forget those who gave up their homes in the service of fast cars, cheap gas, and a thirst to get where we're going more quickly than we'd ever imagined.
9 miles of two strand topped with barbed wire. Late by the father for the son. Good shelter down there on the valley floor. Down by where the sweet stream runs. Now they might give me compensation. That's not what I'm chasing. I was a rich man before yesterday. Now all I have got is a check and a pickup truck. Looks like my farm is a freeway.
Used to be you could walk down Jasper Street to borrow a cup of sugar from a neighbor. Now you get in the car, take a right on Rainer, then a right on McDonough to Market, right on Market, a right on Monroe, left on Illinois Street, and a right onto what is now the somewhat distant other end of Jasper. Probably be easier to just go to the store.
The interstate system profoundly impacts every town and every municipality it passes through. It's a river of life, for better or for worse, and all that life, all that energy can kill or make a town.
My thanks to Dan McNichol. His book is called The Highways That Transformed America. See more of his work at danmcnichol.com. Well, no matter how it got here, the interstate system, all 47,000 miles of it, is still a big part of how we get goods and people where they need to be. And with shrinking portfolios keeping us all a bit closer to home these days, maybe the good old American road trip is headed for a renaissance. And hey, if your travels just happen to find you motoring along I-80 through Joliet this summer, windows down, tunes blaring, well, maybe you'll catch a glimpse of my grandmother's old house on Jasper Street. It's still there, gazing out over the cloverleaf at exit 131. That's it for this edition of Hoytus Interruptus. Thanks for taking the time. I'm Jeff Hoyt.
Moon over the freeway, catch us as we ride. We just left the city, left it far behind. Silhouettes of palm trees, airplanes cross the moon, living in the moment of the girl who left too soon. My favorite song comes on, let's roll the windows down and jive. It feels like summer is a-coming round the corner. Here she comes, here she comes, here she comes. Brings her shells that listen to what we have to say. Blows her summer kisses as she turns and walks away. There she goes, drive right on.
As we drift through lonely streets, there she goes, there.